Hello, friends. Welcome to Read 'Em and Weep. Get me, your host, Sammy. And first things first, next week, I'm going to do a mailbag episode. It's been like, I don't know, 6 months since I did the last one, and people seem to really like it. So I figure it's time for another one. And that means that you can shoot me any questions you guys have, whether it's poker related or life or, you know, perverted thoughts or sports or movies or whatever it is. Whatever you feel like asking, shoot me questions via DM on Twitter at SammyReadFI or on Instagram underscore reademandweep underscore. I mean, people have definitely told me, yo, dude, you should get a dedicated email account for the podcast. And I don't know, man, I'm kind of like, fuck all that. Like, I can barely keep track of my own email, let alone having a second account for my podcast. So Twitter or Instagram DMs, it is. As for the poker, I really haven't played very much lately at all. The weekend before this one, I took my family on a fun little snow trip up to Lake Tahoe, which was great. But then we got back and I immediately had to jump on a plane and do this week-long work trip, which, you know, kind of sucked because I spent the whole week being a corporate fuck weasel instead of playing poker and singing the songs that I like to sing. So I'm finally back home. And on this episode, I'm kind of throwing it back old school. Like, one hand that I played good, one hand that I played bad. These hands are not super recent. They're from several weeks back, but they were just a couple of hands that I had in the queue that I thought were really interesting. Well, enough pussyfooting around, my friends. Let's get into some hands. All right, hand one, 235 at the California Grand Casino. I am under the gun with ace seven of diamonds, and I open to 20. I get four callers, LOL Live Poker, three callers behind me, and the big blind calls as well. And we go five ways to a flop of King Jack eight with the top and bottom cards diamonds. So I have ace seven of diamonds. I flop the nut flush draw. The big blind checks and it gets to me. And this hand is actually really similar to a hand that I played on the last episode. Same thing, five ways, I flopped a flush draw. And my thoughts are kind of the same here. On King Jack eight with two diamonds, I have ace seven of diamonds. There's three players left to act behind me. I don't love betting here. Certainly, if the pot were a little more shorthanded, I might start blasting off with this hand. But in this formation with this kind of board, there's just going to be so much resistance, right? It's King Jack eight. Like, a bet is almost never going to get through. There's four other ranges in the pot, and they are very likely, at least a couple of them, to interact with this board in a good way. So I don't really love betting out here, because what happens often is, like, I bet, and then if somebody has a really good hand, they raise and I have to call. And then if the turn bricks, they get to just put huge pressure on me and I usually have to fold. Or if I bet and, like, one or two other players call, it's like, okay, they could have draws, they could have made hands. Like, do I keep blasting off? Do I shut it down? It's just very unclear. So in these extreme multi-way scenarios, especially with a hand that, yeah, I have the nut flush draw, but really doesn't have a ton else going for it, I just think check calling is probably the best way to go. And that's what I decide to do. Now, one of the benefits of handling the pot this way is that sometimes the flop checks through and you get a free card on the turn, which is exactly what happens. All three players behind me check. So we go to the turn. There's still about $100 in the pot. And the turn comes the deuce of clubs, putting a second club on board. So again, the flop was king of diamonds, jack of clubs, eight of diamonds. I have ace seven of diamonds, so I have the nut flush draw. And then the deuce of clubs comes on the turn. Pretty big blank, but it puts a second club on board. The big blind checks, and just like the hand last week, the big blind checking here is a really big sign that nobody generally has a big hand here, because if they did, they would have bet on the flop. The person that this doesn't hold true for is the big blind, because on the flop, he's naturally checking to me, the raiser. So he could be sitting there with some sort of two pair or whatever. But when he checks again on a very draw heavy board, very, very unlikely that he has a big hand. So now that everyone's basically signaled that they don't have a big hand, I think this is a good spot to take a big shot here. And I do. And I bet pretty large. I bet 75 into 100. And it folds around to the cutoff, who's a pretty aggressive player, and the cutoff raises to 175. Everybody folds, and it gets back to me, and I'm getting really good odds here. It's like $100 more for me to call into a pot of 350. something like that. So I'm getting exactly the direct odds. And if I hit my flush on the river, we might get paid by something. I do think that this is a really weird raise, though, because when everybody checks around to him on the flop on King Jack 8, he's going to be betting with his strong top pairs. He's going to be betting with his sets and his two pairs because it's such a draw heavy board. Like, he's not going to want to give free cards to four other players. So it's weird that he raises when the deuce of clubs comes out. So I'm kind of ranging this guy in a way where maybe the deuce helped him in some way. Like, maybe he's got pocket deuces and turned a set. But other than that, it's hard to see what value hands he has. But I do think that he might have a decent amount of club draws that picked up a fourth club on the turn here. You know, something like 8-9 of clubs or 8-7 of clubs or, you know, whatever that looks like, ace-3 of clubs, whatever. And he's making a play at the pot thinking, if I had something big, I would have bet the flop myself. So I call here and decide to evaluate and see what happens on the river. And the river comes an interesting card. It comes in offsuit 10. So King Jack 8 with two diamonds on the flop, deuce of clubs on the turn, putting a second club on board, and then an offsuit 10 on the river. I check to him, and now he bets 250 into about 450. And it's back on me, and certainly I have nothing. I just have ace high. I'm left with my dick in my hand. But I just come back to the thought that, like, yeah, this guy just can't really have a lot of big hands. Like, maybe he's got pocket deuces, but nothing else really makes that much sense. Like, what two pair does he have? I think there just doesn't seem to be a lot of combos available. Like, if he had king deuce and made top and bottom, like, doesn't he bet a king on the flop? Maybe not king deuce, but even if it's suited, like, there's only two combos available. You know, there's three combos of sets, and I just think he's probably semi-bluffing with clubs a lot more than he has value. The other part is I have an ace in my hand. So now that it's King Jack 8, Deuce 10, hands like Ace Queen are available to me, and I block those hands. I could easily have a hand like Ace Queen of Clubs, maybe even Ace Queen of Diamonds, even though he'd probably expect me to bet that on the flop. But I definitely don't think he's got an Ace Queen type of hand like Ace Queen of Clubs, because I think he just three bets that preflop a lot. So I decide that I'm going to make a pretty out there play, and I'm going to go for the check raise bluff, because what I don't want to do is like check call and he beats me with some sort of small pair that he turned into a bluff, or like 8x of clubs that he's turning into a bluff, ace 9 of clubs or something, like, you know, that actually beats me. So I decide to go for the check raise. He bet 250 and I check raise to 650 and he goes into the tank, and I'm like, shit. This guy actually does have a hand, because if he had a missed draw, he probably just throws it away pretty quick. Some people will certainly go into the tank when just for show, when they got caught bluffing, and then finally begrudgingly throw it away. But this guy seems genuinely pained by the decision. And he tanks and he tanks and he tanks. And he finally folds the hand and he just goes, ace queen of clubs, huh? And he flips over Jack Deuce of Hearts. So the guy folded two pair. He had, you know, the flop again was King Jack 8. He had Jack Deuce of Hearts. He just checks it, hits his two pair on the turn. So he was playing quite a bit looser preflop than I expected. And the deuce actually did help him. But, you know, the reality is that Jack Deuce two pair is really just a bluff catcher when I check raise. I'm not check raising with anything worse for value. So unless I'm bluffing, Jack Deuce is no good. And in these stakes, like, people just don't tend to check raise rivers big as bluffs. It just almost never happens. So he knew that. He threw his hand away and I got away with one. Loved to see it. And this is, again, just one of those hands where, you know, you think through the hand, and the way he played it, I thought he just had a lot more bluffs than he did value. And even in this spot where he did have some value that I wasn't really expecting, you know, I put that hand in the blender because I can have all the nuts and he can't really. So it worked out this time. Happy with this bluff. Like I said, I think everybody kind of under bluffs in terms of check raise bluffing rivers at these stakes, and myself included. The fact that I do it every once in a while, I think, puts me a little bit ahead of the game, because I think some people do it 0% of the time. But even then, I'm always looking for opportunities to make plays like that. And I found one this time and got it through. So yeah, so happy with myself for this one. allow myself to congratulate myself. Obama putting a medal on himself. Dot meme. All right. Played that hand pretty good. Hand two, not so much. Stay tuned for that one. All right, hand two, again, 2-3-5 at the California Grand Casino. This hand is straddled, so 2-3-5-10, and a very loose fish under the gun opens for 40, and then a very solid player next to him under the gun two flat calls his 40. It gets around to me on the button, and I have 8-6 of spades. You guys know I never met a suited one gapper I didn't want to play, and certainly on the button in a single raise pot, I'm playing 8-6 of spades, so I call, and we go three ways to a flop. And the flop is 10-3-3 with two spades. So I flop a flush draw with my 8-6 of spades, and the under-the-gun player c-bets 50 into about 130. By the way, we all started, I think, like 900 to 1,000 effective-ish, somewhere in there. The under-the-gun raiser c-bets 50 into 130. And the under-the-gun two guy, the flat caller who's a very solid player, he calls 50 again, and it gets to me on the button. And I consider a raise here since the under-the-gun player misses this flop so often with his wide, weak range. Like, he's just the kind of guy who's raising way too wide under the gun, and he's probably over-c-betting. But I'm very wary of the under-the-gun two player, right? He called an under-the-gun raise, and then he called the c-bet on 10-3-3. He's almost always got some sort of pair here. I think the weakest hands he shows up with are like under pairs to the board, like those 7s, 8s, 9s, but he also has a decent amount of 10x, and then he may also have some spade draws of his own, and if he does, those are better than mine. So I don't love raising here, and I just decide to call in position and see what happens. The turn misses us completely. It's an offsuit jack. So 10-3-3 with two spades. I have 8-6 of spades and then an offsuit jack on the turn. The under the gun player who c-bet originally now checks, and the solid player next to him checks as well. And when both players check when an overcard to the board falls, I think this is a pretty good time to take a shot, right? Like, the under the gun player is often just giving up. And I think I can get the solid player under the gun two to fold a lot of his hands that he'd call the flop with, right? That 10X, that, you know, 7s, 8s, 9s, those pocket pairs. I think I can get him to fold those hands a lot. And I think it's a really good shot to take. So I bet 150 in a 280. The fishy guy under the gun immediately folds, and we love that. But now we get a bit of bad news. The under the gun two player check calls. So not loving that situation, but the deck bails us out in a big way. It comes the four of spades. Hot damn. Nice little surprise. We actually make a hand. We make our flush on the river. The board has run out 10-3-3 with two spades. I have 8-6 of spades. I took a shot on the turn when a red jack showed up, but then the four of spades came on the river and the under the gun two player checks to me again. Obviously, it is time to go for value. I don't know what this guy has, but like, it can't be that good for him not to make an aggressive action on any street here and then also check the river. So I just think that this guy is about to get owned. So there's 580 in the pot, and I decide to make a nice chunky bet of about two-thirds of the size of the pot. I bet 360, and the guy doesn't think very long before flicking in the call. I show my flush and he shows his. He turns over king queen of spades and takes a $1,300 pot, and I am left broke and sad. So did I play this hand well? Well, you guys might be already thinking, no, you didn't, Sammy, because I played the first hand all right. So I'm sure by your powers of deduction, you can figure out that I fucked this hand up six ways from Sunday. So let's go over all the decisions, because I don't think I played this hand bad all the way, but there's a certain point where I think I did. So pre-flop, I'm very, very okay playing 8-6 suited on the button for a single raise. Absolutely. On the flop, I think my decision to call instead of raise is good for kind of the reasons I outlined. I just don't think I get a ton of folds from the under the gun two player. And it's also the kind of board where like I just don't have a ton of value that's worth raising here. So yeah, I think it's just kind of a better play to call here when you just have a naked, like really low flush draw with two other players who are kind of interested in the pot. Just doesn't seem like a great spot to semi-bluff. You know, it's way better to kind of wait for the turn action to happen and see if, you know, you can get more information and use the power of your position a little more effectively. On the turn, the jack comes after 10-3-3, two spades on the flop, the offsuit jack comes, and I like taking the shot here. I like being able to get the players off their aforementioned ranges. Like I said, the fish under the gun has kind of a wide, weak range, and he's probably over c-betting this board. And the under the gun two player, when he has that 10x, when he has those under pairs, those 6s, 7s, 8s, 9s, etc., I think they all have to fold. So I like taking, you know, a half pot bet here. I think I bet 150 and a 280. So it doesn't even have to work that often for it to be effective. And I think it gets a lot of folds. The problem is when he doesn't fold, he's left with a really strong range, right? He's left with hands like Jack 10. For top two pair, he's left with bigger flush draws than me. And then he's left with some hands like pocket tens or pocket jacks that are like laying big ass traps for me. So I just actually don't think by the time that the river comes, even though the river hits my flush, I think I've kind of run out of value here. You know what I mean? Like there's just not that many hands that can call me that I actually beat. And I didn't really think about it that way. I kind of lost myself in this hand. I just kind of smooth-brained it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I hit my flush. Like, that big, of course. And that's playing like a fucking yokel. You know, this game is all about relative value, you know, compared to ranges that people have. Not just like, oh, yeah, I hit a good hand. Like, I bet it. If I had been thinking through this hand really clearly and lucidly and understood that this guy's check call on the turn meant a whole lot of strength, I wouldn't have bet like so big on the river. I think checking back, like it seems really weak in practice, but I actually think it's all right. Just because, like I said, I ran out of value. Or if I do bet, make a really small bet. Because if I bet smaller, you know, the pot's like 580 on the river. If I bet something like, I don't know, 150, something like that, maybe I can get a crying call out of the one pair of hands that I'm hoping he has. When I bet so big, all those hands, even if they're still here, which I think, like I said, they usually fold out by the turn, but even if they're still here, maybe I get a crying call. But the way that I played this hand, the way that I paired his range down on the turn and then blasted big on the river when I made a flush, it's just like, yo, dude, like you've run out of value. And I fucking owned myself. I own myself. And certainly this guy didn't play his hand very aggressively on any street. You know, he should probably be betting out on the river when he hits the king high flush, but you know, maybe he's scared of a boat, or maybe he's just smart enough to know that I'd own myself if I had a smaller flush, something like that. In any case, he played his hand solidly and I played my hand like a fucking buffoon and I lost a bunch of money for it. So fire me to the goddamn sun. You know, I just fucking smooth-brained it. Like, oh, I hit a flush. Like, let me bet big. You know, think through the hand, man. I mean, for Christ's sakes. Ugh. All right. Well, I'm leaving you guys with a remarkable cell phone. Those are rare, but they do happen. All right, you guys. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Like I said, next week we're going to do a mailbag episode. So send any of the questions that you have. You can DM me on Twitter, at SammyReedFI, or on Instagram, _reademandweep_. All right, my friends, thank you so much for tuning in. I will chat with you next week. And until then, play good and run pure.